family, welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got?
Heart of the House is coming up on November 30th during our 10 a.m. service. And this is our yearly family update where we look back on all that God has done over the past year through stories, testimonies, and financial updates while also sharing the vision for what's ahead. This service won't be live streamed as we want you, our church family, to hear this information first right here in this room. Children's Church through Middle School will still have the regular services though, so make plans to be here on November 30th for Heart of the House.
Hey church family, I'm Brianna, and I just wanted to remind you again about Operation Christmas Child this year. So we're asking every family to fill at least one box together if you can, or else you can donate money and we will get items to fill the boxes. You can also donate money towards shipping. And we will also have a packing party November 9th after church in the lobby, and everyone's invited to pack boxes together. Let's spread the gospel of Jesus one box at a time this Christmas.
Here at Only Believe, we know that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. Marriage is Us is a small group devoted to building strong marriages. Marriage is Us is for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage and find connection in other married couples within the church. Marriage is Us meets on the second Sunday of each month at 9 a.m. upstairs in the loft. For more information, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get it all there.
Baptism is a powerful next step for anyone who has given their life to Jesus. It is a public declaration that your old life is gone and you're living new in Christ. It's through baptism that we share in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the new life that he's given us. If you haven't been baptized and you decided to follow Jesus, now's the time to get baptized. So scan the QR code to sign up, and we can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hi, today we have a volunteer highlight. Today we are highlighting Annie Moody. She is an amazing servant in this church. She works on the cafe team. She's a vital part of what happens in there, and she's always serving with a smile on her face. She also is an excellent small group leader. I'm in her small group right now, and we have so much fun and we learned so much together. So shout out to Annie. We're so thankful for all you do. And if you see her today, say thank you.
Are you looking to take your next steps here at Only Believe? Well, we want to invite you to Growth Track, held on the first Sunday of each month, right after church service. This is a time where you get to learn about the story, the heart, and the vision of Only Believe, and it gives you the opportunity to join the Only Believe church family. At the center, our desire for you is to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. Growth Track is especially designed just for that and for you to take your next steps. And you also get to learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them. There is lunch and childcare provided, so all you have to do is come ready to grow. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
And as always, for more information or if you have any questions, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Morning, Only Believe Church. It is good to be in a church where there is might and power and a place where God is birthing miracles. Amen? Did we just hear last week from Mr. Bustard that we are a church birthing miracles? Miracles. Is that not amazing? That means they're in you. They're going to come from you to others. God's going to work through you. Miracles are coming to your families, to your finances, to your jobs, to your friends. Stand to your feet and give him praise. Come on, if you believe miracles. Miracles aren't for yesterday. They are for today. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Greet someone before you sit down. I want to make sure you've said hello to your neighbor. Hallelujah. This is how we keep community. We care one for another. Praise the Lord. All right, Randy, that's enough. That's enough. You're the last one standing. You know, I've looked at some of my husband's past grade cards, and they were all really good until it came to socialization. and he socialized way too much. He talked all the time through the teacher. Yeah, so that's, I think I have that same problem. Anyways, we're going to, I want to take the time just to say, Pastor Randy, and I'm Pastor Nicole, if you don't know, and I'm one of the senior pastors here with my husband, Randy, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for all of your honor through the month of October. You've given us gift cards. You've gave us coffee cards. Thank you. I know you meant that was just for me because my husband don't drink coffee. I'm so thankful. I appreciate you. Randy appreciates you. And thank you that you brought us so much honor. It really just, I didn't even realize that was the month. And people started giving us cards and things and just telling us beautiful things. And that's great. I appreciate it so much. We also want to remind you about Operation Christmas Child. This is something very important to our church. It's something we do. All of you that took a box and you wanted to fill your own, those are due next week. I know it's early, but we got to get them out early so they get to their location by Christmas. And then after church on Sunday, even if you bought and packed your own box, we're asking all of you to stay next week because we've bought our own boxes. And throughout the year, people give money and they give prizes that we put in these boxes, toys, crayons, washcloths, all kinds of stuff. We're going to be packing our own boxes and have a huge packing party. So even if you packed your own box, please stay with us as a church family. It's something we get to do as community. And this is something that reaches around not only just our nation, but it goes into the other nations of the world. And it's important that your hands are involved in it. You know, sometimes it's real easy to give money to things, but we don't put our heart, our hand, and our feet to action. We never want to be a church that just throws money at us at an opportunity, but we want to be a church that moves into action like Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, so before we get started, we're going to pray because we are a church that... I love that. Look at that. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, I just give you myself, my mind, my lips, my ears, God, that I would hear the leading of the word. Holy Spirit, feel free to hijack what we've wrote on Thursday, what you've developed over the weekend. Holy Spirit, we just give this to you. But Lord, most of all, I ask that you soften our heart like the prophecy came forth today. Lord, that our hearts would be softened to hear the word, that we would hear it, and it would bring forth change in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so today we get to begin our money series. How many of you have a little green card next to you with the face? I don't know who it is. I didn't do good in history class. Anyways, that little guy's on the front of the card. I want you to take that card with you, and I want you to find someone to give it away to this week, and I want you to invite them to church. But we're learning about counterfeit truths. And this is going to start our money series. And at the end of November, we're going to conclude this series with a heart for the house. This is where we as a church look at what God has done over the prior year in us, in our church, and through our finances as a body of believers. And I'm going to be real. This is where we make some tweaks and some changes. We can do some things better, and we could do some things not so good. I'm not sure. But we're going to look at it together, and you're going to know what the heart of this house is doing. All right? And we're going to give thanks for what God has done. So you might be asking today, oh, why do we have to talk about money? I already heard an answer right there, because I'm going to tell you, there's two reasons. One, the Bible tells us that each of us will stand before God and give an account. Give an account of how you and I stewarded our lives, our time, our children, and our treasure. We're all going to give an account for that. So you can think that, oh, I just get to live like I want in this life because it doesn't all go with me. But that's not what the Word of God says. And we wouldn't be good pastors if we didn't tell you the truth. Amen. The truth is God's going to hold you accountable for what you did. And each person has to work that out in their own heart. And now, I'm going to be real with you. Some of us already need an altar call. Because we realize right now, before the message even gets started, that we might not be a good steward of God's money. We might not have been a good steward of our family. It's okay. The second you identify it and you see it, You simply come to the Father and say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't do it right. And I don't have a chance to go back and do it again. But what I do have a chance is from this day forward, I'm going to be faithful with what you gave me. And he washes it all away and you start new like it never, ever happened. Isn't that beautiful? We serve a good God. So don't let this condemn you. Let it bring you life. And he is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, 55th chances for some of us. Amen? Number two reason, Exodus the 20th chapter tells us that God is a jealous God. And do you realize that he made a covenant with his people? He made a covenant with us that he would be our God and he would take care of us. He would provide for us. He would nurture us. He would bring us peace. He would be faithful to us no matter what. But he must be number one. He didn't take a number two spot. The Bible says that you would have no other gods before you. Why? He's a jealous God. And because of our covenant, he says, I'll do what's in my covenant, but you got to hold up to your end of the deal and you got to love me and you got to put me first above all things because I know more than you know. And I got this. If you'll let me take it, I'll lead you. So that's two reasons we're talking about money. So we're going to start today in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 37th verse. We're just going to read one and then get it started. We do have a lot of scripture to go through. Now, this is the Pharisees talking, and they're trying to trip Jesus up. They're trying to mess him up and get him to say something he doesn't really mean or to catch him in something. And in verse 37, it says, Jesus replied to the Pharisees, love the Lord your God with all, someone say all, your heart, and with all, someone say all, your soul, and with all your mind. This was the greatest commandment. And then he follows it up with saying, love your neighbor as thyself. I want to be honest with you, that's a whole nother topic for another day with what's going on in the world today, right? We just need to get the first one right. Because if we can get the first one right, I think the second one might fall into place. But notice what it didn't say. It didn't say, love the Lord thy God with all thy money. But it did say, your heart, your soul, and your mind. Proverbs 4:23, we're not going to turn there, but it says, above all else, guard or keep a hold of your heart. Don't give it over to anything except God. Guard your heart. The heart is where your mind, your will, and your emotions live. Mind, emotions, and your will. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Out of the heart doth the mouth speak. Meaning, you can tell everyone that your heart is good and it's clean, but when you look at someone and say, I can't believe you, you know what? You're a piece of work. Well, out of your heart just flowed what you really thought about that person. Some of us have that problem, and some of us need to use tape, duct tape, the real sticky kind, that can't come off when you try to speak. I'm going to be real with you, because we have a mouth problem, because really what's in our heart is begging and pushing to get out. And we haven't learned enough or grown the fruit of the Spirit of self-control enough that we know how to keep it shut. So in the meantime, it's spewing like a fountain. The NLT says, the last part says, it determines the course of your life. Whatever you think of, whatever the will inside of you, and whatever your emotions drive you to is what determines the course of your life. So God's warning us straight away. He's telling us that I know more about this thing than you do, and I know that money. You ever heard of that? Money. He knows it's fighting and competing for his lordship. He's a jealous God. He ain't standing for no competition. He's not sitting on his throne next to George Washington, who's green, and Jesus. That's not the way this looks. He is all-encompassing, and he sits there, and he waits for you to boldly approach the throne. But it best not be with greed in your mind. It has to be with the right heart that we come. And God's concerned about this because he often uses this as an example in the scripture. He knows that before you're born again, you're born into this life and you're born with earthly desires. And we know that the desires that we think about, that we think on, that we want to do are what we really do without the help of God inside of us. When you become born again, now you're different. That fleshly desire is supposed to be put aside. That selfish behavior is to be done away with. And this new form of contentment. Did you hear me? Oh, I know we didn't get a big amen on that. I know why. Because there's a lot of us that aren't content. Remember, I'm not up here because I'm perfect. I'm up here because I'm working out my salvation just like you. And I understand what money can do. And if you think on it enough and you desire it and you process what it can do for you, instead of looking towards the things that Christ has already done for you, it will bring you to a different conclusion in your life. It's important that money doesn't have us and we have it. Let's turn to Colossians. I'm going to prove to you something in the scripture today that I think is important for, it was important for me to know. 1:16. It says, for in him, it's, let's go back to 15. Sorry, media team, I just probably threw you a loop. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. God spoke it. Jesus was the word of God that audibly went forth, and the Holy Spirit did the work. And on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things, all, someone say all, things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I want to point out to you today that the enemy, the devil, old Diablo, is not a creator. He can create nothing. He himself was created by God. He thought he knew more than God. Sound familiar? And he was tossed out of heaven because he's the one that wanted to earn the worship in heaven. All the devil can do is take what the God says is true, twist it, convert it, conform it, and shove it back to people and see if they accept it. So what the enemy has done is lie to you and I about money. That's why all he does is make a counterfeit truth. Counterfeit simply means that it's fake. It always copies something valuable. So let me tell you something. The devil's probably not into no-name brand clothes. You want to know why? Because no one cares. I don't care. I don't care if it's a name brand clothes or not. If I like it, I'm going to buy it. If I don't like it, I'm not going to buy it. Right? He's not into making clothes, but he is into making a counterfeit truth about money to defraud you and deceive you. Because he knows if I can defraud them about the way money looks, feels, what it's for, how it's used, I can twist the word of God and then I can earn and get their heart to be devoted to a green dollar. But who's behind the green dollar? Did God create the green dollar? Did he make it possible for you and I to use it? Yeah, it's a form of currency in this world. Did he give man the idea? Sure. But he didn't give it to create that you would follow it and be devoted to it. Remember, God's only looking for his devotion and his alone. The devil counterfeits this truth, and he pollutes our minds and tells us things like, well, if you have more of it, you'd be happier. Anybody heard that before? Oh, I know. I know. And then people will default it, and they'll go, oh, well, you know, it does make life easier. Maybe not happier, but definitely easier. You're buying in piece by piece, because I'm telling you, it's not true. Things become easy when you know that you're walking in the truth with Christ. When you find out that he's purchased everything for you at Calvary and that blessing follows those who believe. You can't outgrow the goodness and the blessing of God as long as you seek after him with the right heart. The right heart. He says things like, you know, this would answer all of your problems. You and your wife wouldn't fight anymore. Because the only thing you fight about is money. That's not true. You'd fight about how much you had to spend versus where you spent it and when you spent it. They're all counterfeit truths, and he's trying to trip you up. It always says, you know, Jesus, you know, he really did not want you to have money. He just, you got to use it for all the right reasons. Okay, that's part of it. But to say you only want money just so you can bless people, and you're not blessing people now with the little that you have, you're not going to start blessing people after you have much. That's like people that walk out and say, oh, if I win the lottery, then I'm going to give unto God and I'm going to start tithing. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because God says that if you're not faithful with the little, you won't be faithful with much. That's what the word says. But the devil lies to us and tells us the different story. See, money is the currency here on earth. And it's strictly the earth system. But we, just because it says in God we trust, do you believe that? Do you believe that our world really trusts in God? Come on. Give me a break. That's just another counterfeit trying to draw us in that goes, oh, look, it says right here in God we trust. Then don't take the money. If it's in God you trust, see what happens if you don't get your paycheck. By the way, let me just throw this out there. This is probably not the right place for this, but maybe. There's a crisis in America today that come tomorrow on the 3rd. There might be a bunch of people that don't get their SNAP benefit. For those of us that are in the older generation, that means that these are benefits for food, that people don't have the money to buy food without these things. There's a thought pattern going around that these people said, well, if we don't get our SNAP cards, we'll show up at Walmart and we'll just go in and take what we want. And they said, if we don't get what we want and Walmart shuts down and locks up for the day, we'll get the people coming out and we'll take their groceries. Would it be that the church would walk into Walmart without their own grocery list and look in the parking lot and say, who's in need? Let me take you and I'll take one family and I'll take you in and buy your groceries today. But that we feel that we have to protect ours. Well, I'll tell you what, they ain't taking my groceries. How about that they don't take it and that you give it? Because God says, as you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. Would it be, well, they're going to get that money paid back, and then I'm the one that spent $130, and I just do. And God says that you'll be able to give generously in all situations, in every single season, for anything that is needed. When you do that, I'll give you more to do it again. Why would you care? I'll tell you why, because you're buying into a political system that teaches you that's not fair. Let me tell you something. Life ain't fair. Life ain't fair. But you have an opportunity. Every single one of us in here possibly knows someone that receives benefits from the government. The first thing you should do tomorrow is call that person and ask them, did you get your benefit? And if they say, no, I did not, say, yes, you did, because you and I have an appointment to go to the grocery. Amen. Church, this is our time to shine. This is who we are. This is the hands and feet of Jesus. I probably just made half of you mad about the government and what they're not doing, but it is what it is, that the church would be in place of a government. See, we're foreigners simply passing through this land. And you know, Randy and I were talking the other night, and he said, you know, Nicole, when we go to Uganda, we exchange all this money. We take American 100 Chris dollar bills, and they give us a ton. If you give them a stack this big, your stack looks this big when you're done. I mean, you got to stuff it. Like, you look like you need robbed. But the point is because their value system is different than ours, right? But when you leave Uganda, you don't want to take their money home. They won't exchange it because it's of no value. Let me tell you something. You are foreigners in this land simply passing through. Everything you gain, everything you earn in this life means nothing in the next life. So you might as well not even exchange the money, because it's not going to matter. You leave it all behind. You know, Randy says this at a graveyard when he does a graveyard site. He said, you know what? What you don't see here today is a U-Haul attached to the back of that hearse, because there ain't nothing you get to come out with. You came into this world naked and with nothing. You leave this world, well, not naked and with nothing, but with nothing. I think they normally put you in clothes. You don't get to take it with you. So why are we working so hard to earn it and gain it? Because the counterfeit truth in your life is that how much of it you have is how much you're worth. And that's not at all what God said. God said you were so valuable that I went and paid your price, and I bought you, I ransomed you, and now you are free. But yet we're still trying to find our value in the green dollar. Church, that's not who you are. You are a peculiar people. You are a victorious people. You are rich because you know Christ. The world is lying to you in multiple places, and you have to pay attention to know what he's saying. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Now, I'm not going to get to tear this completely apart, because there's a lot of counterfeit truths in the Bible, but this is the main one that I want to sit with today. And we're going to start in the 16th, or the 19th verse, and we're going to go down through 24. It says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, we talked about that a little bit. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, for some of you KJVers, that word actually means mammon, or riches, which ultimately comes down to riches, money, greed. There's a three-word breakdown. And I say that with the KJV because the NIV has already broke that word down to the very first staple, to say money. But when you're studying a word in context, you have to go back to the purest form of the root of what we have. And that's why when you look up the word money, it won't give you the same description as it would mammon through the entire Bible. And it's important when you do a word study that you do it on the right one. But there are two types of treasures that are displayed in the scripture. And the treasure means it's simply something of value. Everyone has different places of value in their life. But the two types are the earth's treasure, which would be money, gold, silver, jewels, rubies, whatever you want to call that. Whatever's important in the earth, maybe a house to somebody, maybe that's a treasure. Maybe a car is a treasure. And definitely stuff. Stuff. You know how much stuff I see in people's houses? Stuff. Just stuff. You can't have one of it. You got to have five of it. Stuff. And then there's the heavenly treasure, which is like wisdom, knowledge, salvation, truth. All these things are important. But Jesus is warning us that your heart is like a treasure chest. And whatever's inside that treasure chest, you're going to follow after. You're going to chase after it. You're going to set your affections to what's in that treasure. And then it's going to determine the course of your life. But verse 22 puts a whole different spin. And it's not because it's out of context. It's actually sandwiched between financial scriptures for a reason. Because it's saying that your eye, the way it sees something or perceives something, determines whether your eyes are light or they are dark. Do you and I understand that the way we look at money either lets light in our body or it brings darkness and greed to our body? Do you get that? The way you perceive something either puts you in godlessness or godliness. And there is a way to operate money. And I know this sounds crazy, but from your birth, you have been taught that you work hard for your money. I was taught to work hard. Why? Because you got to earn a good living. If you don't work, you don't eat. And I better start working so I can eat. And then they told me I needed to tithe to God. And I'm like, what? How much do I give him? And they're like, 10%. I'm like, 10%? Man, I worked hard for that money. I got the ability to work hard because God gave breath in my body that I would have the energy to show up to work and make a good wage, that I could give him the first of what I make, that he could give it back and bless all the rest, that my money would go further, last longer, do more for the kingdom, and I would not be bound in my heart with it. God has parameters to money. He's warning us that we have to be careful about what we look, and a healthy eye is important. And you realize that money changes. The value of money is changing every day. Anyone who has an investment, a 401k in the stock market, you see all those numbers. They're ticking all day based on trading and sales and all this. Guess what it's doing? The value of what you have is changing constantly. There's only one guarantee, one treasure that you have that does not change. That's Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm telling you that if your treasure chest is not full of this earthly stuff, but it's filled with the love for Jesus and the identification of who he is, your heart cannot go wrong, and he does not change. Your value, your eternal life is still revealed. Do you identify that money tells you all these fictitious things? Greed is good. Greed is good. You just need more. You need to work more hours so you can have more. The last scripture in that thing said that you can't serve money and God. Do you realize that money has a spirit of mammon on it? Money is influenced by this world. Did you hear me? There's an influence on it. And the influence is when you spend it, do you know it creates a high when you spend money? Yeah. You ever heard people, they're like, oh yeah, I did some emotional shopping today. It makes you feel good, doesn't it, to spend money? The counterfeit truth of that is that God wants you to be able to give money and it feel the same way as shopping. Dave, can you imagine? I'm going into farmer's world here. What's the price of a combine these days? One you want, not one you had to have, one you want. Tell me the price of that combine. It's got digital, it does everything for you, it maps out the cutting range. What? How much is that?
You can get up to $1 million.
Okay. $1 million. Now, let me say this. When David goes and buys that combine and he's got cash, he's sitting in that combine, he's like, hey, baby, get in here and ride with me today. And Jane's like, oh, okay, big man, I'll ride in your combine. Now, that may not be the combine he has right now. I don't know. What I'm saying is that it feels good to buy something that you want and that you've worked for and that you've earned. But why is it that if Dave was to come up, now, Dave, I'm just using this example. I'm not saying this at all. I don't know anything about David's heart, like in giving. But if he would, actually, I do. David is a giver. He calls my kid and says, hey, come over with your truck. I'll dop a load of corn in there for you for your dumb deer. Right? He gives it to him free. So anyways, he comes down to the offering bucket. He's got $1 million check in his hand. But here's David. He's like my granddaughter. She'll look at you and she'll give you something. I'll say, oh, thank you. And I try to grab it and she won't let go. I'm like, let go, Lacey. You gotta let go. Give it to Gigi. She goes, and then she gives it to me. And I'm like, oh, here, you can have it back. You gotta play the game, right? When you give something, why is it that when you give it, you go, oh. You can gauge and measure how much greed is in your life. If you're an emotional shopper, if you can drop $300 at TJ Maxx, but God asks you, I'm just using that because Mom and I like TJ Maxx. If you go and you can drop $300 on stuff you don't even need, I'm going to be real with you. TJ Maxx is amazing. I love it. I think I'm getting a deal on everything, so I buy more than I need. I don't even need the Christmas pillow, but they've got it positioned so nice, I'm buying it. But then when it comes to God saying, but I need you to give $300 in the offering plate, I'm like, what? I don't have $300 this week. Yeah, because you just bought it TJ Maxx.
It was already ripped.
No, yeah, and it was already ripped the way you bought it. Why did you buy something ripped? I didn't get this at TJ Maxx, by the way. This was fashioned by Josie, my fashionista over here. Anyways, what I'm saying is, church, you have to measure your heart. Why is it that it's easier to buy something for yourself or for someone that you love than it is to give to God or to give to people, I'm going to be real with you, that you don't think deserve it? Do you understand that? See, it's easy to give to people that I deem worthy of getting my gift. But if I don't deem them worthy, if I think you don't have a job because I was taught you get a job or you don't get nothing, then I think you're lazy and you need to get a job. But God's began to work that out of my mind. Do you realize that there's people that are on medicine 3 times a day that makes them sleepy? And you don't know that, but they can't work a job because they fall asleep on the job because of the medical condition in their heart or their mind or their body? Do you realize that there's people that can't stand on their feet? And if they sit in a chair, then they have stroke clots that happen in their legs and they can die? But see, you don't know that because we make a judgment on the outside only of what's going on in someone's life. And we just believe that if they don't have a job, they're just lazy. That's not true. But the world has told us that, and we've believed it. I'm challenging you to go beyond. I'm challenging you to step out from the way you think it is. You know, in the Old Testament, when it said that they met the need, I'm sorry, in the New Testament, when they talked about meeting the needs of others, someone had a wallet. I saw a wallet sitting on a chair back here today when I was praying. It's a good thing. Oh, wait, Sharon, you got a wallet? Here, I'll just take Sharon's. I'll take Sharon's right here. Look at this. Okay, so this is my wallet. I just thought I was going to have to go back in the dark. Then the media team was going to be all crazy on me. So this is my wallet. And I know that she has a need. And I'm like, Angie, you have a need. So I'm going to help you with your need because God wants me. By the way, this is not just Christians. This is not just Christians. God says, when you've done to the least of these, it didn't say least of these spiritually. It didn't say the least of these in your church or on your church pew. He said the least of these. And he said to love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor does not just mean Christian neighbor. I know that doesn't feel well to everybody, because it's easier to love the people that you know and you trust than the people you don't know and you don't trust. Like the guy playing the violin in every city from here to Piqua making money and telling you he can't eat. I get it. I get it. Angie, you have a need. So here's my wallet. Take what you need. Take what you need. Just take that MasterCard. That'll get you everything you need. Yep, yep, that's a good one. Yep, yep, good. She's learning real well. But we can't do that. Literally, that's what it means. It means they opened their wallet and let them take what they need. You know what we do? We come to church with only the amount of money we want to give. Or we put our thumb, here, Angie, you take everything. There we go. Let me see here. Oh, she ain't even got a quarter. All right, all right. Here you go. Here, Angie, you take everything you need. And I'm giving her a driver's license. I put my hand on everything else I didn't want her to take. And then I let her take what I was allowing her to take. That's you being controlled by the spirit of mammon in your life, and you are unable to believe that God can provide for all of your needs unless you hold that money back and you are not willing to give it. Amen. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm going right. Listen, I'm a miracle box keeper. Oh, Sharon, I better give you your money back. I really didn't take anything, I promise. I'm a miracle box person, and this is what it means in my life. My grandfather taught me an age-old practice. I realized that my car payment was more than I made when I worked at the truck stop. Oh, that was a terrible place to work. Anyways, sorry, I'd have to wash my face 3 times at night just to get the hamburger grease off my face from the grill I was shoving those burgers on, and this one guy tried to marry me off to his grandkid every single time he came, and he was a truck driver, so he came through 3 times a week. 3 times a week I had to say no to his grandkid. But anyways, I didn't make enough money to pay my car payment in one paycheck. So my grandpa said, you're going to meet me every Friday for 4 weeks, and I'm going to show you how to run your money. And I said, okay. And so he taught me to divide my bills by 4 and then put them in these envelopes with cash. So I got to play banker like Monopoly. It was awesome. But at the end of the month, when it got time to pay my car payment, there was more money in the envelope than I had put in. So I thought Grandpa was duping me. I'm like, Grandpa, did you put money in there? He said, Nikki, I did not put money in that box. I said, yes, you did. He said, no, you didn't. This is how it got the miracle box name. And what he showed me was that when you're diligent in the little things of God, that he will be faithful to you. We added up my check stubs. We added up all the cash that was in all the envelopes and realized that we had more cash than I even brought in for the month. And I tell you that because God will bless what you put your hands to. When you are diligent in the little things, he will give you much. But I say all this because I would be challenged if God said, I want you to empty that miracle box and give it all away. Because it brings safety and security knowing that all my bills are paid every month. And that if I don't overspend and I only spend what God told me, like this is my leftover amount. And this is what it is that I'm there and I'm doing what God wants me to do. But am I? I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to dig deep. Because I remember one time Randy came home. One of our rental properties that we used to do, thank God we don't do that anymore. We're out of the real estate business. Thank you, Jesus. We've been delivered and we're set free. However, one time Randy came home for me and said, the furnace went out at such and such street. I need $800. I said, I don't have $800. The rental properties don't have $800. He walked right over to that miracle box, counted out $800. He said, we got $800. And I began to cry. I'm like, I'll tell you what. You don't love our family. You're going to let us die, go without food, no electric, no water, so that they can have a heater. I was so mad. I'm like, what kind of husband does that? Someone came up to his church, had no clue. God told me to give you $200. Got an insurance check in the mail for $360 from a premium that hadn't been paid. I'm like, I didn't pay that. We don't even have insurance with you no more. They're like, we know, but here's the money back. I'm like, okay, praise Jesus. And I'm shifting it into my box. I'm playing Monopoly and I'm taking care of it. And then the rest just was there when we needed it for what we needed. And you know what I learned? Do I like the way Randy did that? No. Do I think we should have been in agreement? Yeah. But you know what? I would have never agreed to take away from my family and give to a rental property that was supposed to make us money. And chances are, I'm going to be real, they hadn't paid their rent anyways. But in my mind, that was wrong. And why are you getting from my family when my family ain't got it? There's a fight. There's a fight for your heart. And Mammon is speaking to you every day. Mammon is saying, I can fix this problem if you had more money. Just ask for more hours. Do you need overtime? Just ask for more. You can get it. Yeah, you're right. And it'll drive you to work more. It'll cause you to be away from your family more. It'll cause your wife to raise your children alone. And you'll have no godly influence in your life. And you know the number one godly influence of what represents a father is how we see a father to God. So go ahead. Let them be fatherless because they'll be godless without a father leading them in the right way and without being solidified into a church where there are spiritual fathers that can step into that place and help raise up your children. And in this children's church where there's men that are teachers. By the way, if you have a teaching gift, you need to be in front of children and you're a man because I'm telling you, children need more man examples than they've ever needed before. It is beautiful that we could find a husband and wife team to even do something like that. Mammon has a voice, and it's crying out, crying out, crying out. Let me remind you. You want joy? You want happiness? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You want power? You have power. You have power over sin right now in your life. You want freedom? It promises you freedom. Yeah, freedom from a church service because you're in Italy 17 weeks of the year because you're spending all your money and you've got freedom in this life, but you don't have freedom from sin yet. Jesus promises everything that money promises, but it's not a fake, counterfeit, fraudulent promise. It's real and it's final. Stand to your feet, church. Mammon is looking for servants. Servants, servants, servants. He wants to rule over you and control your money. Hallelujah. Before I forget, our prayer team is going to be here at the end of service. And already, I've had the prayer team with a word of knowledge come forth and say that there's someone here in this house today that has a degenerative disc in their back. I have not talked to the prayer team member that came down has no clue what I've talked to before service, but I'm telling you, he said, Pastor Nicole, I feel the power of God is here to heal those degenerative discs today. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come down to this corner right after service. And the power of God is here and ready and willing to heal. He knows you. He's called it out, not because he's going to ignore it, but he reveals that which he's ready to heal. Amen? Amen. So don't pass that by. But I don't want to let this service go without offering the greatest gift of all today in this house. I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes and bow your heads. Because the greatest treasure is Jesus. See, the Bible says that there is a way that seems right. It seems right to you and I. But what seems right only leads us to destruction. There's only one way, one sure way that gets us to eternity and that gets us to heaven. And that's by accepting Christ. Today, I want to ask you if you're in this house and maybe you've never said yes to God. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as that personal Savior. I'm asking you to let go and let God today. Haven't you struggled long enough? Haven't you wrestled with the things of this life long enough and you're ready to just tap out and say, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't do this anymore. If that's you today, I just want you to slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand in the house today. Say, Pastor Nicole, I want this Jesus. I want this Jesus that you talk about. And I want to be made right. I want to be able to approach God with confidence. Is there anyone that would be bold enough, strong enough to say, that's me? That's me today. All right. I really felt that at the beginning of the money series that God's looking at our hearts more than anything else. Your eyes can be lifted if you want. I know money's a touchy situation. I know it is. I'm going to be real with you. There's not a pastor, I don't think, in this world that wants to talk about money. Because we're accused of so many awful things about money anyways. But here's what I do know. You know in your heart today when it was touched. You know when you went, ooh, how did she know that about me? It wasn't me. It's the Holy Spirit that knew that about you. What I'm asking is, I'm going to give time here this morning where we're just going to lift up our own prayers. You know what God's trying to do in your heart. And you know where the struggle of money or mammon, greed, and God is. And you know where it lies. And I gave you some hard instances today where you could step over that line of having more and having more of Jesus. I need you to get real with Jesus this morning. I need you to offer it up and say, God, this is who I am. And this is what's in me. And if it's not of you, then I need you to come in and start doing a work. I'm going to start listening to your spirit when you say to give. I'm going to start moving according to your way. And I'm going to start giving room for you in my finances. Because there's a way that seems right, but it leads to destruction. You can be filthy, stinking rich. You know what? You can be stinking rich and very wealthy. I'm taking off filthy because it's not filthy. Money's not dirty. Money's not dirty. When money has you, it can become dirty and make you dirty in God's eyes. If you were rich and you had millions and millions of dollars, yet your soul was going to hell, you would have nothing. You would be lost. You don't get this day back. And if you leave the service and you forget, and then you come back next week and you're the same way that you were, what have you changed in the area of your heart and your treasure? So let's just take a moment this morning. Let's do 2 or 3 minutes. And let's just say, God, we give over our money to you. Now, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you guys offer up your prayers. You offer up your prayers and what that looks like in your heart and what it is. And Larry, I'm going to ask that you turn my microphone off because I want a moment with God. I had one earlier, but I think something else came to my mind when I was preaching. Father, we just come before you one last time today. And Lord, we surrender control. We surrender control of our money. Father, we don't look to it for security, but we look to you for the eternal security of salvation. God, that we understand that when we are saved and bought by the blood of the Lamb, God, that we walk with you and that we fellowship with you, God, and we do our best to do what the word says, God, that we have salvation and eternal life. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for that freedom that you've given us. Father, that we're not looking for freedom through the mighty green dollar, but we're looking for freedom from this flesh. Freedom. Father, I thank you that everyone we see today, God, that you would help us open up our eyes, our minds, our ears. God, that we would hear and see and be called to action like you are in the midst of this dying world. God, that we would not pass one person that's dying and drowning beside us, Father, in this world of lies and steeped in sin. But God, we would throw a life preserver named Jesus their way. God, that we could save one. God, help us to become all things to all people like Jesus was, that we might win some. Help us, God, with our words and our actions and our intentions. God, that our hearts would be moved towards what moves you in the area of money and this life we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Do not forget, prayer team down here, specifically if you have a degenerative disc, God's here and ready to heal. For those of you that are going to meet me for Growth Track, you are meeting in room 306 today, where you're going to become members of our church. And we're excited to meet you and to see you and to greet you. Church, I love you. We will see you on Wednesday night, where small groups will still be going on, and we will have a word in the main house. Love you.